You need an introduction?
So, when I chose the topic of talking about Starbucks coffee, I didn't know how sensitive the topic was to people. Maybe I would have had a more needless, better needless, and not talking about it. So, what people want to know is what changed. Recently, the Starkit put out a statement saying that something changed in Starbucks. People want to know exactly what changed. What was it? What made it kosher? What the problem is now? The answer really is that for us, nothing really changed. But what happened for those 2 years that they had that they made a kosher program in Starbucks, it was in 7 stores in Europe and New Jersey. They agreed to clean their kelim differently, and they agreed to fill the star kelim any changes. And then after 2 years, they decided that financially it's not worth it for them, so they stopped their start of the deal after the 2 year program ended. So for us, nothing really changed. We're not in New York, not in New Jersey. So everything's still the same. So in the actual topic of Starbucks, there are 3 different discussions. I'm going to talk mainly about one of them. I'm just going to mention the other 2 just because it should be known. The first one is Bishlak concern, the fact that the coffee is being cooked by a guy. The second one is eating in the place of a guy. As Al said, now I'm eating the place, not eating the guy's store. So eating in a Starbucks store may be a problem. And the third one is going to be the main discussion is going to be the kashrus aspect of is the coffee itself kosher or not. So the first one, bishalakum, the Gemara says that the Chazal asr, Chazal said, now to eat anything that is cooked by a guy. The reason for this is because they were concerned that if you eat or drink food cooked by a guy, you may become too close to them and may lead eventually to intermarriage, even though this concern might seem far-fetched, but Lamaise, the Gemara says it, and it's also to eat anything that was cooked very good. Even though there are cases which are no concern that you might get might be intermarriage, it's still lesser. So, why should coffee be different? Coffee is a drink cooked very good. So why should it be different? Why should it be mutter to drink coffee if it was made by a guy? So the Piskachuga says, it's asr. Is coffee is a drink which is considered a chashuv drink. And that's why it's asr to drink, because it's bishalaka. But there are many places who say it's mutter, and there are many different reasons why, but one of the most common reasons is based on the Tosfos of Avodah Zarah. Tosfos asks the kasha, why is beer of a guy mutter to drink? Also, it's cooked by a guy. And Tosfos says that the reason is because it's mainly water that has the taste of the grains, and he brings a proof from the fact that he brings a proof to that it's really water from the bracha which you make. So Rav Hashofan says that the same smell would apply to coffee also. So according to Rav Hashofan, there's no problem of bishul akum with coffee. The second concern is eating in the place of a guy. This is also from the Gemara of the Zara. It says that the reason why beer of a guy is usher is because the concern is also because of chasness, also leading to intermarriage. And the Gemara says 2 stories of Amram that went into a store to buy a beer, and one of them drank it outside, one of them brought it to his house to drink. And from there, the Shachanar Paskins, you're not allowed to drink a drink like beer, which is a social drink, in a store of a guy. So, in the Machlekes in the Rishonim, if this is a gzera, which makes it usser, but the Rajba said this, the minute Kedushim, or the minute they took onto themselves, but it's not a gzera. But either way, the Shachanar says you can't do it. So, the simple understanding it should be that coffee should be no different also, which would mean you can't go to a Starbucks and drink coffee in the store because you're drinking a social drink in the store of a good.
Doesn't the Rambam say it's okay?
And this is what, that's okay.
Rambam is not allowed to drink in the store?
No. So, not sure. So there are differences that some places have said. There are places who say this is only talking specifically about drinks with alcohol in it, and since COVID doesn't have alcohol, you know, it is a social drink, it would be mutter. There are places who say that, and there are some people also want to make a difference that say the same reason why by pasakum. We say that if it's made by a professional, there's no concern in the fact that you might come close to them. The same story would be true that any commercial store that's owned by a corporation or owned by not any specific person, then that also is mutter for the same reason as passed out is mutter. There's no, because it never can lead to the concern of intermarriage. So, but the main thing we're talking about today is the kashas part of it, not to minimize in any way the other two problems that have to be dealt with. But that's the main thing we're going to talk about today.
So according to what you're saying, you can never walk into a bar or any alcoholic shop
and eat and drink over there.
Yeah.
Take it
drink,
no,
milk.
You can't eat it. You can't drink it.
I
went to
a business.
If it's a business, okay. Maybe you can have. The answer is not that. It could be you can ask your rabbi, you're going to have to yourself for different reasons. But the first step is no. So, Justin, it's Starbucks. As of today, we offered around 87,000 combination of drinks. So we're not going to get to most of them. And if anybody knows about it, a fraction of them, knows any more than a few, don't brag about it. So I myself am not a maven of coffee. I just learned a lot of that now, but I'm not such a so involved in my coffee. So if I pronounce one of the coffees wrong, don't throw eggs at me. You know? So the main thing we're talking about today is the kashas part, but not in the kashas ingredients. If there are many coffees in Starbucks that are just not kosher. Just one example out of the many is the frappuccinos. They are not kosher, even though they sell frappuccino bottles, which are kosher, they have hashgacha on them. But when the stores, when they make in the store, the base which they use is not kosher. That's why those are out. You can't start making kosher. The bottle's kosher, so the store is kosher. It's a whole different. Matzias, and he's the base, which is not kosher. And there are a bunch of many others which there are lists of which are kosher, not kosher. But so everything we're talking about today is a cup with the ingredients are kosher, but because of the process how it's made, there's a problem, something changed its status that now may have become not kosher. Also, again, the milk, if you're not going to call this all, then we have soy milk over there. We're not going to get involved in that issue also. Usually, in most corporates, there's no problem with kalem, of if you're mapping on dairy equipment. Many times, there's no problem because the regular coffee is not made in the milk's never put in the urn itself. So there's usually no problem of dairy equipment either. But there are two types of Starbucks. There's one type of Starbucks which they refer to as a kiosk, which is like the old-fashioned Starbucks, and all they have is coffee. So if the coffee is kosher, then nothing really happened to it. The problem is the full-service kiosk. Full-service kiosks, well, most of the Starbucks we have now are full-service kiosks. Once in a while you find in the airport, you find the full-service Starbucks. Once in a while in the airport, you can find a kiosk, but most of the ones we have around here at least are all full-service ones. So what does that go wrong with the coffee if it's kosher? What happens to it? So the answer is that coffee is kosher, but they also sell things that are not kosher in the store. Not just things don't have hashgacha, but they sell trade in the store. And the problem is, I'll say the problem, then I'll break it down to why that's a problem. But the problem is since they sell not kosher, they sell trade products in the store also, and that's being placed on the utensils and on their equipment. And then the kosher equipment is being washed together with the not kosher equipment. So the transfer of taste between the two. Now there's a lot I just said. I'm going to break it up to make a little more sense.
Why does that apply to chalav stam also?
The blius of chalav stam should go one to the other. Okay, so. I was saying before was that the kelim itself, the bleus has in it, it never has bleus of milk in it, the ones the regular quantities. But if it has bleus, the transfer there, then we're usually more makel in that, but technically the same problem could apply. So there are three things we have to clarify. First thing is how does a utensil become not kosher? That's number one. And then the second thing is you have to figure out how they're washed. How does this transfer happening? And the third thing, which is the main thing, you have to figure out how does that affect the coffee itself, the kosher coffee. So the first thing is how does something become treif? What does it mean that the taste of something not kosher gets into the plate? How does that work? So the way in halacha, the way any traveling of taste goes through, it was through heat. And if it's not hot, nothing traveled, everything stays exactly where it is. Now, the whole idea is based on the Gemara in Chulin, which is on the paper. The Gemara in Chulin talks about if you have a plate, and Kufin often brings a Chulin, if you have a plate which is previously used for meat, and then you take fish which is hot, and you put it on that plate, then the Gemara says the fish now took the taste out of the plate, and now it's still in the plate, but now also in the fish. Now, we talk about taste in kelim. I don't know if there's an actual taste in there. Meaning, the halacha would deal with it as a taste. I don't know if there was some bored guy along the way that wrote to a lab and actually tested it. I'm sure there was, but it doesn't make a difference, really, because the halacha, they're considered as a taste in there, so whether we find it in the lab or not, it's irrelevant. So the Gemara says in this case, we have a fish in the plate, and you have a hot fish that goes onto it. And the machlokes of the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel is, are you allowed to take that fish, which now has a taste of meat that took out of the plate, and you dip that into a dairy food? So the Gemara refers to it as not bar na, because not is a abbreviation for nisim tam, means it gives a taste in it. So the first transfer of taste was from the meat on the plate into the plate. And the second transfer of taste is from the plate itself into the fish. So we refer to not or not, this is what it means. So the Gemara says, Rav says asrif, eat with this dairy food, and Shmuel says it's mutter. And the Gemara says hilchasa, it's mutter. So in other words, we're saying the halacha by this case the Gemara gives, where the original plate was a flourishing plate and it went into a food, one used it for milkics, in that case it will be milk there. However, the case of the Gemara is talking about, like we just said, milk is not flourishing. In other words, when the transfer of taste happened from the meat into the plate and from the plate back into the fish, nothing else happened because the fish is tired out easily. Nothing else happened. The only problem that came up was the next step, after you already transferred taste twice, the next step is the problem of dipping the milk. At that point, taste really got broken down, and there's no concern.
There's no sakana being fish and meat together?
Yeah, it's a different problem. And if the person talk about it, and the Kelim Shachar talk about it, then either they say that there's a problem, we're not dealing with that now, or they say that there's no problem of bleus as far as that. But this is where it comes from, that taste transfers, but the difference is, here we're talking about with the second transfer, everything is still mukher. In a case where the transfer of taste was an usher transfer of taste, which is the Ron in the second page, there it's a whole different story. So the Ron says that taste, which is usher, originally that never gets broken down. That could travel from Kaylee to Kaylee many times, and that still keeps the same level of taste. It doesn't get downgraded at all. So in our case that we're going to deal with today, obviously technically talking about what Ron's talking about, because any transfer of taste that happens is going to stay usher because you're dealing with real trade, not dealing with something that was kosher until the third transfer. So what happens when a guy comes into Starbucks and he orders a piece of meat? So what they do is they heat it up, they take the piece of meat, they put it onto a ceramic dish, and they put that into a microwave, or like a convection oven. So what's happening there is you have a piece of meat on a ceramic plate, and it's being cooked on that plate. So it's a klirishin. We'll get to that in a second, what difference klirishin and klisheni is. But first, it's a klirishin. It's being cooked on that plate itself. So the taste of the meat is going directly into that plate. Now, what is a klirishon? Like this case, klirishon, when you say klirishon, it refers to anything that's done on the fire itself is the klirishon, is the first klirishon being used. Anything that gets transferred from that kli that's on the fire to another kli, that second one is klisheni, the second kli can be used for this food. It's not directly from the fire, it's moved off the fire. But and the klirishon, even if it was removed from the fire, not on the fire anymore, it's still a klirishon. It doesn't become not klirishon after it's removed from the fire. So, but the klirishon halacha is that it gets cooked into the plate and the whole plate now becomes asr.
Is it bread? Chotzitz between the meat, because everything
the,
is a sandwich. They don't eat
the meat by itself.
They don't do that. They only do.
No, they put the sandwich inside of the oven. They don't put the plate and eat inside of the oven.
They put the ceramic for them. I can make it with dishes. The ceramic. Thing.
But the oven that they have, they put that dish. You cannot touch the dish. They put it in that special tray. They put the sandwich there. They heat it up that. The toaster oven spread, they take it out, they put that on the plate, they don't put the plate in the oven.
They said what they do is they take a piece of wax paper and they're putting it on there, and maybe the different sandwich is different, putting it on the wax paper, they put the wax paper on the sandwich dish,
okay,
and heat that up separately. So wax paper, so now that can develop in that, but wax paper is very possible that it's not considered a separation, especially when it's a greased piece of wax paper. So. And besides the concern that something might drip off the side of it, even that, the wax paper itself is not considered a good separation. If it's bread, it could be, it will be. We're talking about what happens in some of the dishes they sell, they put on a wax paper, put that in the oven, that ceramic dish is now a klirishon, it's been cooked on that, and that is straight tray. Now, if it would be a klisheni, let's take care of this now, if it would be klisheni, then it would be different. The klisheni, what happens there is then it does not go through and through, it only goes to the klipa. For now, that's. But the case we're dealing with is ceramic element is a klirishon, and that's the main concern as far as the whole Starbucks problem, the main concern is this ceramic dish. The only two dishes over there become a klirishon, and this is one of them.
Why should it matter if it's a klirishon
or a klirishon? As far as being buckle, number one, how much needs to be buckle? And also, it comes out. If they use in this step, it's not gonna make a difference. When it becomes usher, it is how much needs to be bought. But in other parts of the shir, it's gonna come up. It'd be a difference in how and it doesn't go in the chalav. But in terms of the creation, it goes all the way, and that's why that kli is now a usher all the way.
Doesn't say that the creation is not a usher at all.
It's not mavashal at all, but if it is pilot, then it takes out. What is that? The way Mishmur said there did it does. That Mishmur the Shachna. The way there did it says the clear that.
Shachna said, "I'm saying I'm going to space."
So now, what the difference between the klirishon and klisheni? Is the taste explains because the transfer from one kli to another kli, the walls of the second kli cool down. But let's take it back to the fact that it's different than klirishon, different than klisheni for what we need to talk about today. So now, so what? So right now you have a tray for plate. Still not going to make the coffee a problem because I'm not making coffee enough plate, obviously. So the problem over here is the fact that plate is now being washed together with everything else. So in other words, the whole issue with anything talking about Starbucks, anything in the wash. If you have any piece of equipment that doesn't get washed, there's no problem. Which is why it makes everything a lot better. There's one machine that only one part gets taken apart. The espresso machine never gets taken apart. The machine stays as is on the counter. Only three parts of it get taken apart. But the main thing that makes a difference to us is called a shot divider. It's a little, if you ever saw the special machine, there's a little ball thing in front, and behind that's a black piece that, as the sound is, it divides the shots. And special really has two shots, and that piece in there divides it. So if you get an espresso, and you tell them to take that shot divider out, may make a face at you, but they still do it. And then if you dispose of a cup, the espresso is totally fine. Because that machine never gets clean. It does get, wait, got nervous, it gets clean. It gets clean, but the way it gets cleaned is that they put pellets in the machine itself and it cleans in its place. It never gets cleaned anything together with anything else.
You can't keep the shot butter in it to clean that also?
To clean that also, it's not gonna take your, if
they
were,
they don't put in the dishwasher, keep rinsing.
They put in the dishwasher. Yeah, it gets built after all day, they build up on it, sometimes it's pretty thick, they build up on it, and you just throw it into the dishwasher. So if you go there, and tell the barista, which everyone knows anything about Starbucks knows that they're called baristas, the people who work behind the counter, so those people, if you tell them to take it out, it's fine. Also,
the Tom from the shop divider go into the channels of the machine itself.
How does it go in?
I know that the shop divider gets the Tom Acer from the washing machine. So that is copy, it's the shop divider and that copy.
Yeah, the shadow is on the outside of the machine. They're not going through that. The shadow is on the outside of the machine. It's a bottom. It goes through that the last step before it comes out. So it's not going to go back up. So the water is dripping through it.
All the coffee.
It's down the side.
What?
Drops into it. It's not sitting in the coffee.
It's not sitting in the coffee. It's on the bottom thing.
The
last step before it comes out. It's like that little bowl with the machine.
The fact that maybe 1,000 people ask for coffee all over the day, that part doesn't
get. Yeah, so there is that cheshbon. Here's a chashman that Nasagil, it cashes itself. So if you take it out, then you're good. Just take it out, take it out, and don't worry about the fact they're making faces at you. So.
Don't take it out,
see if you have any information. That's what we talk about today. Is there issue of a chlab? But this is for sure an issue. When you get to things that are washed together, when you get to in a few minutes, maybe there's no issue with that either. But this, if you take it out, for sure, out of all problems, you're going to feel it all the way. There's no concern at all. If it gets washed together, that's going to be there. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. If it does get washed together.
How hot is a dishwasher water to be?
Okay, I got there. 180 degrees, but I got there. So the also anything that's made with this machine, Americano, cafe Americano, the way it works is it's espresso with water on top of that. So nothing, it's also fine. And the ice latte, also the way it works is it's basically espresso with milk. If it's not ice, then it's steam milk. That we'll get to soon. That they use a steamer for, which is the other side of the espresso machine, is a little pipe coming out. And they put milk into a cup, and they put the whole cup in that steamer, and it steams it right over there. So that's besides the fact that there are some drinks that are not kosher, like the frappuccino, like I mentioned before, that are getting mixed into that steamer. That steamer also goes into the dishwasher. But if you have espresso, cafe Americano, or ice lattes for sure. You can leave now. So the problem is all the type of coffees. Everything else, the other coffees, the regular coffees, they're made in a whole different machine. The way the dirt machine is made, it looks like a big urn, and the water's in there, and the water goes to the top, and there's a basket called a brew basket with a filter of coffee grinds in there. The water goes up the top, flows through the grinds, and comes down into the machine, and that's how the coffee is made. Now with that, we're not talking about the type, they didn't have a type of machine which is a glass kettle on the bottom. The ones they have is a spout. That's the way their machine looks. It's going to make a difference. So that basket on top, which holds the coffee grinds, that gets removed and that gets put in front of the dishwasher. And that's why for any other coffee, we have to figure out what effect the dishwasher have or the sinks have on that basket. Even though that basket holds regular coffee, or coffee that has that, it's kosher. That basket was put it washed together in the sinks and the dishwasher with everything else. So, if two things are washed together, what's the halacha? If two kelim, a milk kelim, a fleshy kelim, are washed together in one cup. So that also on the paper the Rambam talks about, bringing a sefer Trumas, and he says that if the two things are washed together, then the taste of one goes to the other through.
Good question. The status of kosher friendly Starbucks was taken away.
Good.
What was this friendly about it before that?
As I spoke about it before, I'll go back to after. Remind me after, I'll go back to that. But they're they had some sort of agreement with Starkey that stopped, but we'll get back to that. I'll tell you about it after. Remind me, please. So the if two kelim wash together, a milk kelim and a fleshy kelim wash together in the same tub. So the Sefer Truma says that the taste of one goes to the other, and the Ran also goes to that. And he says the way it works is because the taste of the milk kelim comes out, goes into the water, because it's hot water, and the fleshy kelim also comes out, goes into hot water, and then it creates a mixture of basar v'chalav in the water itself. Those argue, other shouldn't argue on this, and they say that no problem because it's not by not. Like I said before, it goes, the transfer of taste goes into the water first. So, like I explained before, that since it's two transfers, I have once from the Felicia Kaili into the water, and again from the water into the Milka Kaili, that's why there would not be a problem. But like we said before also, in our case over here, it's not going to make a difference. In our case over here, we're dealing with Isser. And Isser never gets downgraded no matter how many times it transfers from one thing to the other. No problem at all. That is a problem. And it's not going to change anything, and it's still going to be the same usher as it started originally.
In a whole thing, I'm not understanding, the water won't be bottled, the shishim, the size of the pot?
It will be bottled, the shishim. It depends.
Depends how much water there
depends is. Depends how much water there is, and depends if you've been bottled the whole keli, because the amount of bottle that's coming out. If the bottle is coming out, then that it could be a bottle on the way out. But according to the Ran, the way the Ran says it, that they're meeting each other, then they're both crashing in the water itself. Not going from one into the water to the other. They're meeting in the water itself.
You can't do that like a
peel off. Yeah, that's also true. But
what rule does the soap or detergent apply?
Yeah, so we got that also. So Darama says, it's also brought down the paper, Darama says that this concern is only true when the thing that's being washed in is a kli rishon. If it's not a kli rishon, it's a kli sheni, then the Rambam says that the transfer of taste is not going to happen, and it says it's mutter. So what exactly is a sink considered? How does a sink work? Is a sink a kli rishon? Is it a kli sheni? Is it an iri kli rishon? Iri kli rishon means basically you have a kli rishon and did not put it into a second kli yet. It's pouring from the original kli out in the air to hit something. That's iri kli rishon. It's pouring from kli rishon, and that usually would have the halacha of a depends on the scenario. If the thing is hitting the bottom is hot or not, but if the thing is hitting the bottom is cold, then only will be mavasha, only will cook into only the klipa, which is a small amount of the whatever it's hitting. So a regular sink is a machlekas in the pesukim. So now normally, the best thing to do in a person's house is to have two separate sinks. You have two separate sinks, and then you have no concern whatsoever. But if someone only has one sink, so how does he work with that? For many people only have one sink, and many chosh people only have one sink. So how do you work around that? So there's machlokes in the pesukim. The Magen Yitzchok says the water coming out of a faucet is like, it says worse than iri kli rishon. The iri kli rishon, the way it works is you have this pot on the fire, take it off the fire, and now it's moving the fire, and you pour. So over here, the pipes are all connected to the water boiler. So it's a straight stream of water from the water boiler, so it's even worse than a kli rishon. And that's why he's very concerned about sinks. He said you only have one sink. The only way to take care of that problem is to put a board on bottom of the sink, and on top of that board, put a basin in it, and then wash the dish in that basin. That way it never has a problem hitting the bottom of the sink. And that's the only way it's kosher according to him. Now, when this idea was brought to Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe said that's a little too hard for everyone to keep, and he said the ladies are going to complain and making life too hard for them. So Rav Moshe himself says that he argues on the whole basis of Mechzis Chak, and he says that the water coming through the pipes, it does not have the law of your creation. He says that it's coming through pipes, the pipe itself cooled off. And second of all, but usually cold water mixed into it. So that both those together makes it that it's not a regular iri kli rishon that's coming into the sink. So he says if you only have one sink, what you should have is a rack on bottom of the sink, and make sure that nothing touches the sink itself, and also make sure there's no buildup in the sink that would make that the bottom of the sink is all together with the kelim inside. The
pipe itself is not kishin?
The pipe itself, if it's direct, the thing would not be kishin.
Even though it turns.
Even though it turns, it would not be kishin. Only because the pipe cools it up, so that's why it's considered a...
It's not kishin.
So, going back to out of our
kishin... What temperature are we concerned with coming from the sink?
So, that's what that is anything after 110, 113, that would be kishin for. So, the question for that, the pricing is a different number. After the number, you have to start being concerned that that's what is, but that would be considered hot enough to cook. He says two things. He says, what thing says in the code? Also, he says the pipe itself also cooled. In the chuva, one of the eight chuvas in the dishwasher, he speaks as that. Now, Starbucks, people want to know why Starbucks is different than any other store. Saying Dunkin' Donuts, people drink coffee from McDonald's, and why is it different than any other store? So, I don't know why it's different than every other store. I don't know the mitzvahs of most stores, of my old store, I don't know the mitzvahs of. But Starbucks is different, because Starbucks had it prides themselves with their sanitizing system. I was talking to a manager in local Starbucks over here, and she was bragging to me, yeah, everything's put in the sanitizer. So I said, okay, so everything's a problem. So she's bragging to me that everything is clean. I took a whole different way that she meant it. So they're very proud of the sanitizing system. And a place like Dunkin' Donuts would be no concern at all. Because over there, they wash their kelim right after it's used. And they don't use a temperature yet to let us buy. So that's why Dunkin' Donuts is, the whole concern doesn't apply over there. Now,
it's washed in a dishwasher, not yet to let us buy?
It's not a dishwasher. They wash it in a sink. Since they wash it right after it's used, they wash it in the sink, and everything's washed as it's used. As
they're using
is
a sponge or whatever, that's not a problem?
There's no transfer. So, part of their sterilizing system, there are different ways that things work. Every machine has a front of it. A box that has a rag in it and a sanitizer, and they wipe it down, and everything eventually goes into sinks, which we'll talk about in a second. And officially, the rags can't go from machine to machine. According to their protocol, it can't now go from one to the other. Even though I did find many Starbucks had violations for the rags going place to place, and the health department came, but they officially they don't do that. And you have to be chesed, anything happened, you have to slam up, they're following their protocols. And then everything goes to the sink. Now, we're talking about Starbucks sink. Many things we're going to talk about are not hetero mechatzila. Means, talk about things, why would we mutter maybe in Starbucks, not a reason to go and try to do this mechatzila. Talking about the situation was done already. So how does their system work? So everything goes to the sinks, then dishwasher. Their sinks, it's a three-part sink. The first part usually is filled with soap water, and that soap water comes out of the faucet itself. It means that for the faucet, it pours water, soap is connected to it, so soap comes out directly with soap on it. The second sink is used different ways. Sometimes it's full of hot water without soap. Sometimes it's empty, but they spray hot water on it. There's no official way to do that one. Either way is fine. The third sink is a tub full of sanitizer that they dunk it in, and then it's clean, according to them. So, and the dishwasher is a whole different topic, which we'll get to very soon.
Can you do both processes? They put it in the sinks and then the dishwasher?
Dishwasher at the end of the day. Dishwasher only at the end of the day. During the day.
They did all that, those three steps, they still put it in
the dishwasher? Yes, it's a very proud sanitizing system. It's one of they take pride in this. So at the end of the day, everything goes to the dishwasher. Dishwasher is not big at all. They sometimes have to do 10, 20 loads to get everything done. Depending on the big place, but it's they do it. So in sink one is full of soapy water. So now, if it would not be full of soapy water, if the way it would work is you have a let's say a brew basket sitting on the bottom of the sink, and someone comes in and someone puts. One of the workers put one of the tongs they used for something tray, put it right on, full of grease. So that would be a much bigger concern because that the grease going on, and if it gets hot, it could cook right into it. But the mitzvah says the first sink is full of water, and again, we don't have to What? Soapy water. And again, we wouldn't have to be cautious that they didn't follow what they're supposed to be doing. We'd assume everything was done as it was supposed to. So,
maybe when they found violations, you weren't.
Yeah. And this particular thing is 16-4, that's how it is. The rags going back and forth, it's a matter of losing this thing, it's taking the wrong one. This is the way the sink is set up.
Yeah,
so we got that right now. Yeah, very good. We got that right now. So the Shachanar talks about mixing hefer, mixing ash, going through while you're washing your table. And the Shachanar seems to say that's called this time of God. This time of God means that the only concern that we have of anything any case going from one keli to the other keli, only if the taste is as is the way it was and the way it's intended to be. If the taste is not a good taste anymore, so then it transfers the taste as the pagam, which is a bad taste, and that taste would not be usr. Now the Shulchan speaks out clearly that bad taste doesn't have to be impossible to eat. Bad taste has to be anything which is not the way it's supposed to be, anything downgraded from the way it's intended to be. Not it doesn't have to be an outright horrible taste. Happens to be that the taste that soap they use in Starbucks is a horrible taste. The person that wrote a report on this, and he wrote that he wanted to test that it's a pagam. So he put each one into his mouth, and he couldn't hold it in there for more than a few minutes. So it does taste terrible. But even if it doesn't taste terrible, also be considered this time of God. So the Shulchan Aruch talking about washing kalim. Other talks about adding ash in there. Now if you add ash in this, now the Shulchan Aruch seems to be talking about a case even when the kalim are dirty and they're full of taste that was absorbed into it. So the question to talk about is that true, once it was into kalim, it could be as different. But in our case over here, no difference really, because our case over here, we're not talking about making the kalim in there kosher anymore. We're talking about the transfer of taste, one from one to the other. So since it always has to pass through the soapy water in order to get to the next kalim, get the one that's kosher, always has to go through that before it reaches the ear. So any mushrooms, anything in there, always becomes nifka, always tastes bad before it enters the second kali. So it sounded like the first sink would not be the main concern. The third sink also. This is time of gam. Is it b'dieved? I mean, we are talking about b'dieved over here, actually. I'm saying, but it doesn't ask. Saying b'dieved itself. I mean, call b'dieved. In our case over here, we're dealing with here with something that's done. You're a finished product of coffee. You know what happened. We're not dealing with what you're supposed to do at your house, like I said before.
Once it was used
in the dishwasher, and once it was in the sink, you're not using that clean now once it was done. In your own house, obviously, you shouldn't be doing these tricks. But after this blue basket, we'll talk about that case for now, after this was washed in that sink, is it a problem there or not? The first sink does not seem to be a concern. The third sink also full of sanitizer, and then is much less of a concern because there's no mamashes left, and that's very clean. The main concern would be the second sink. The second sink has this trefichelin in there, and simply the thing you have to be cautious that the soap does not pull out the bleeders that were in the trefichelin. Whatever's stuck in the trefichelin is still in there when it gets to the third. It gets to the second sink. So we still have a trefichelin washed together, soaked together with a kosher kalim.
Oh, that's the water.
That's what it is, but for sure. Yeah. That's part of the sanitary system. So
the second, how different was the second sink than the first sink?
No soap. It's plain water. Plain water and so there are, when the sink goes from one to the other, there's still soap on it, but it gets washed off. So everything being rinsed in there, either dipped in and it's full or rinsed off, whichever way it works out for that day. So the Rama says that if you have Eri Klirishim going from one keli to another keli, it doesn't pull out something or put in something. It will never transfer from one keli to another with Eri Klirishim. So if the sink itself is not Eri Klirishim, let's say going like a Kamesh Shavir, not Eri Klirishim, so then for sure there's no transfer taste happening that way. If it's just a stream of water going from one to another, there'd be no transfer taste happening according to Rama. If you would consider that to be Eri Klirishim, then that would be more of a concern. If they're touching each other, that would be a concern. If the two kelim are touching each other, then it's possible that the Eri Klirishim, if it's a lot of water going through, they'll be able to take out from one tray because going into the second keli, that may be a concern. If you consider it Eri Klirishim. The what?
The source of water is different sources or just one source that they put chemicals in the first and the second and the third?
It's different sources, but I don't want to mention the difference. There are different sources.
Because the first sink gets the chemical from the
first sink has soap, but the second one doesn't.
And the second doesn't.
It's not.
Second is just the regular water.
Right.
So they turn off something on the.
It's different. Hold on, Fossa.
It's
a separate process.
And the third, they just turn on the third thing.
The third thing is that water, it's sanitizer. It's
a different source.
Yeah. So this is the sink process of their cleansing system. The dishwasher, now as far as dishwashers are concerned, dishwashers, there are many different types of dishwashers. So let's start with dishwashers and regular dishwashers before we go back to start with dishwashers. So regular dishwashers, Ramesha wrote a tshuva, and the first tshuva was in 1955 he wrote. He wrote about a new thing called a dishwasher. And I don't know if his type of dishwasher back then were different than ours, but the dishwasher itself, what dishwasher do we have? The way it works is it comes in either hot or cold. Either way, in the dishwasher itself, there's a heating element in there which heats up the water, and the water after it gets heated up, now gets sprayed around. And the way it gets sprayed around is different machines with different ways. Some machines have like a wand on the bottom that gets sprayed around, and it sprays the water from the bottom around. Some of them have like a pipe that comes up and sprays like a sprinkler. The only way I know this is because people actually put GoPro video cameras in their dishwashers and video their dishwasher the way it works. So it's so different runs. So talking about bored people. So the dishwasher itself, Ramesha says that he's talking about using the same dishwasher for milk and fleshes separately, not in the same run, two separate runs, first milk and fleshes. So he says his main concern is the mamushes, the actual physical food, which is left on the racks and the walls, on the racks of the dishwasher. So he says if you have two different racks, then there's no problem with using one dishwasher for both. Because he considered Eri Klirishim, because it is being heated in there. And there's no problem because the only problem is the mamushes of the racks, if they have different racks, then he says it's fine. Now, there's another concern of dishwashers. The Mishnah doesn't talk about. I don't know if it's because he held it wasn't a problem or the dishwashers he had back there didn't have this. The many dishwashers that we have a filter on bottom. And the filter on bottom catches everything, all the pieces of whatever's left in the plates. So, and that gets caught on the bottom of the catch. So the beer, if there's a creation on the bottom, cooking up whatever's in this catch, if milk and flesh is in there, you're creating a bus of a hall of water, which then getting sprayed around, which would not become mizbach. So that would be a different problem that Mishnah doesn't talk about. Now, again, going back to our Starbucks dishwasher, the way theirs works are before this. Now, in a regular dishwasher, the way usually there are three different cycles. The first cycle is in regular dishwasher is water first, taking off everything on the plate, and then the soap comes afterwards. So the main concern of a dishwasher would be the first one, not the second one, that has soap. The first one is not of soap, is Yatsav Ezbek, obviously, and that would be a problem of taking either real mamash that's still on the plate and putting out another one cooking right in. Now dishwashers by Starbucks, the way theirs works is the exact opposite. The first run has soap in it, the second one does not have soap in it. So the concern again, it would be the second run of dishwasher, which is air conditioned going 180 degrees, and it gets sprayed around. So even though over there there's no action of mamashis on anything because everything got washed out in the sinks before, no mamashis over there. But over there there'd be another concern of the ear creation being thrown around. And going back to ear creation again, ear creation only would work, And the way the Rambam says it, he says, if you have an ear mayim risk and the shkim shall basim vishal chalav, al kem shall basim shal chalav biyachad, he's the shuman there at every mother, ear creation, it's not making you do a zemiza. It's not going to go from one kelet to the other kelet. Now, if you have a lot of water coming, there's a lot of water coming going straight through, then it's very possible the tide brings down. It's very possible if a lot of water going through, then we have more of a more than a regular pour of the mechirishim. There's a lot of water going, and it will penetrate eventually. And if it's a long run of a dishwasher, the plates are no longer after it's spraying for a while, the dishes are no longer cold, so it's not cooling down the water, and dishwashers at this point they're hot. So there would be technically be a problem, and the problem would be if the two kelim are next to each other. If they don't touch from one to the other, the problem would be going from one to the other. Now, many places can hold there's no problem of this, even if they are touching, like their mouth would make it sound. So that's where the dishwasher would be if this dishwasher, the way it's washed, it's spreading it around, would be a transfer from one to the other. Also, when it gets sprayed around, a lot of times it's not a head-on spritz. It gets sprayed onto the walls first, and then it goes down. Then it really loses its whole power of evaporation. Because it got separated, it gets hit first at the walls, then it's sprayed down. The only concern really, if it hits head-on the spritz, it's headed head-on to the keli, another keli right touching to it, like this, then there would be a transfer. And the dishwasher, if they're stuffed, they can be stuffed. They're not touching each other, but they're touching the walls, which technically could be bilei also.
The walls of the dishwasher.
Now, in a starboard dishwasher, it usually not be bilei because no mush is there. So the only thing would be go from the tray for one. There's the same concern going tray into the wall.
You're saying they usually touch the wall,
or they're touching the wall. So now, even if it does, it only goes to the klipa, and to the klipa, it will be bottled very easily. On any type of food, most drinks that are being used. What?
What do you do with the dishwasher?
The dishwasher? They're putting a dishwasher. They're putting.
You're in the house.
Yes.
I mean.
So.
Will be bad. Why you? Do anything,
you know.
You can use the same dishwasher.
Same dishwasher, so separately, separately would be, if you use one first most definitions, they would be better than using it together. We're talking now using it together. Using it together is much more of a concern. Using it together.
Isser had to come from
the what?
Isser.
Right.
You
yeah.
don't have a relationship.
Right. So let's see why you want to go with all these ideas you just said now, not the fact that soap is going to be in the bottle in sink one, not the fact that in sink two the transfer is happening with the irrigation, and the concern only would be if a lot of water one would mix two kilos together. And you want to go with all that. All that is what to rely on. If we want to leave all that to the side, and you want to say that there would be an issue, and the dishwasher also would be an issue, if you want to go that way, then there's another whole idea over here, because the brew basket, now that let's say you got washed, now let's say the transfer taste happened, and you don't want to go with, you don't want to use everything just spoke about. So if that's the case, you don't want to use everything just spoke about, then you have a brew basket which now has the taste of treif in it. So there's another whole idea, because the brew basket now gets put on top of the coffee machine, and the water gets pumped out from the bottom, goes to the top of the brew basket. So the water, which is kosher water obviously, goes first through the grinds of the coffee before it hits the basket itself. By the time it hits the basket, it's only hitting the basket with the klisheni, the lach of the klisheni. Klisheni itself is not going to pull it up. So
it's sitting in the pot.
Sitting in the pot. I'm trusting the CRC on this, but the CRC said that the heat of the pot is not enough to heat of the basket. It's elevated, and our separation, the pot itself is not a hot pot. That can be considered a clearation itself from the bottom. So only done from the top. From the top, if I'm in there, hitting with the cliche. In your clearation, only acids that can be cleared off. If I'm hit the bottom, all I'm dealing with is the cliche. The cliche itself is going to be mukher. There are those who say that would be us anyway because it would be considered a double gush. And now that it's had enough of double gush, it's asking it. Seems like a chiddush, but there are those who say it.
What double gush?
The coffee, the CRC says this. It said the reason why it's with the other is because the coffee grinds now that it became hot. And now it's double gush. I don't know how that works.
It became hot from the
basket?
No.
It became hot from the water coming in the top.
The water's kosher.
The water's kosher.
Yeah, but it's.
No, but the hot double gush sitting on the tray of the basket.
Right.
So now the grind now becomes kosher.
So
that's what they say now. So after everything is said and done, the first thing is you shouldn't decide yourself what to do, because many things you could assume. For one example, someone told me buy only iced coffee. Iced coffee is cold, so that could be the problem. But the fact is, iced coffee is not made cold; it's made hot. So it's the same coffee we built all the time. Cold brew is different. Cold brew. Cold brew is a lot better, and they say is a chachila, even though there could be a problem of kavush, because the way they make cold brew is they make it simply 20 hours before they serve. So by the time you get it, I keep it for 2 days. By the time you get it, it's already kavush. But kavush, you say, not a problem, because by the time it already got taken taste out, it already is not of a name anymore. But there would be a problem there, because it's a different topic. So cold brew is fine, but iced coffee would be the same discussion, because it started off hot, so we're back to the first step again. So basically, after all this, if someone to say there's absolutely no problem, it's not. You can't have no problem. If someone say it's absolutely a problem, it's also wrong, because you just look for a while, why it could be not a problem. So basically, one of those things which you have to decide whether you're not going or not. Simple as that. The Starkey, if you look at the Starkey's list, they have two columns in the list. They have a list of all Starbucks, and a second list that says in it for travelers. And they explain travelers, the right traveler does not mean, right, you don't have to drive on the highway to be considered a traveler. So they're coming from the Middle East. And the Buddha talks about going to a non Jewish coffee house, and he talks about using the Kalem of a guy. He's not dealing with the issue of eating there, eating the Kalem of a guy. And he says, in a case where there is no kelim of a Jew available, then you can use the kelim of a guy. So that's they're coming from there. That's if you're traveling. Traveling doesn't mean that you're just not in your hometown. Traveling means there's actually no kosher place to buy from. If you're one of those who idolizes Starbucks, and you consider that the only coffee which is available in the world is Starbucks, okay, then you go figure yourself out. The airport also, there's no kelim of Israel available. So they're talking about that technically there. In the airport, no kelim of Israel available. They're not talking about China, they're not talking about a case where the guy's driving and falling asleep to cook nefesh and he crashes and never coffee. He's, they're talking about no kelim of Israel available. They're not clear about that.
That heter is Mati what?
Mati is the kelim of a guy.
That doesn't help with the main issues that we discussed.
He's talking about kelim of a guy, but the chashash is. He may have put treif into that cave.
He knew there was treif in there.
you know there's treif from there, but you're going over here with what everything we spoke about, which is a tear and love. So you say, and a traveler can rely on this.
You don't know.
I should have spoken this out before, but we don't know for sure if this ceramic kli is in there at all.
Why?
Because they're not all washed together. The sink is not ever hold everything at once.
There's so many.
There are many, and there are only two that are used for kli. So we don't know for sure they're washed together. The sink is not tremendous. They never runs. The dishwasher is for sure not large. One they need 10 or 20 runs a day just to clean everything up at the end of the day.
I'm really sure they don't wash all the dishes at the end of the day because they need to use the dish again. It's not the same as the machine. They use the dish, they have 24, 48 dishes.
Right.
So like in every hour they're going to wash dishes.
Right.
At night maybe it's going to be only the pots.
So it's better that way.
Yeah, correct.
Right.
Yeah,
so the whole thing is really built on a suffix.
Is the tree together
or not? The whole suffix was together, and even it was together. We have these things to rely on, which again, take or leave it.
You only say that if they put that dish in the microwave.
That dish for sure went into the microwave. Mm-hmm. That microwave dish was in there. Now some Starbucks said they don't put the dish in the dishwasher at all because it's going to make bread. So if that's the case, then shouldn't be.
They put it in the oven.
The second sentence, yeah, the second issue. So the Star case says the travelers could have a list, and the only thing on the Hatchil list, the thing that we spoke about, is the cold brew, the espresso, and the espresso that said use a disposable shot glass. So disposable shot glass, also tell them to take the shot divider out to make it manage much cleaner. And also the cafe Americano and iced latte, like I said before, also the espresso plus either milk or soy milk and water also is no problem.
Yeah, but they don't need to confuse the Americano with the regular cup. Two different cups.
The
regular is not the same as the now because people the American they give cold coffee. They're not American. Can you have espresso with water?
Right. I'm assuming the barista know what they're talking about.
Not the barista, yeah. The same one.
Okay. So basically, for the bottom line, you have to decide yourself, and decide if you want to be machmir this or not. And also, as far as the list, there are many lists which are put out by different hashgacha. Agencies, and they're very available, and you check them out, then follow those lists.